What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
What's up, guys? Organization News Podcast. My name is Salman Ali at Renation Hoops on Twitter. Here joined by Forrest Walker at Do Nots on Twitter. How you doing, man?
It's hot outside.
Yeah, we are coming to you hours before free agency. As you may have noticed, there was no music to start the show. That's because I will not be editing this episode. What you're hearing is the raw audio of my conversation with Forrest. We are trying to make this as close to a live experience as possible. We may eventually do a live episode of this podcast in the future, but for right now, this is what we got. I have to control my swearing. I have to control how much I say or like. So let's get into it.
Red Nation Hoops Knights.
Yeah. So on Friday morning, LeBron chose to not exercise his player option, therefore making him an unrestricted free agent, and therefore completely removing the Rockets from the LeBron sweepstakes. I gotta say, I'm not surprised. Him coming to Houston would have been a long shot, and it appears like he doesn't want to come to Houston, because if he did, he would have opted in the contract and asked to be traded to Houston.
Yeah, and some people have kind of been trying to formulate moves that he could show up in Houston anyway over the past couple of days, but as many Houston folks have said, nope, that's it. Like, that ended the dream, and honestly, like, I'd rather that than it drag on. So we know where he stands regarding Houston at the very least.
Yeah, it's over. Like, it's done. You can try to fit LeBron to the mid-level exception all you want. Like, he's not taking some massive pay cut. Like, the Rockets are, like, it's done. It's over. And it's I think the Rockets, as soon as that decision came down, they internally moved on. They might have moved on before that, in fact, actually. Like, if you heard,
yeah, they might have known ahead of time. Who knows?
Yeah, if you heard Harden at the award show, it did not seem like he thought LeBron had any chance of coming. Like, I think a reporter asked him, maybe even specifically about LeBron, and he said, like, no, we're good, man. We're good, man. We were a half away from the NBA Finals. We don't need to upgrade our team. And I feel like the Rockets knew internally by that point that this was the roster they're rolling with, because LeBron had already said no, and he was planning to opt out.
Yeah, it kind of did sound like he had found out that LeBron wasn't coming over and had a little bit of sour grapes about it. It was kind of funny. He was definitely saying, oh, no, we're good. We're good. We don't need him anyway.
Yeah. And clearly the Rockets were trying to recruit him. We've heard several reports about Houston having interest, and Chris Paul was texting LeBron. And these reports are coming from credible people. We're talking Stein and Woj here, like the two most credible reporters in basketball.
Yeah. It was done quickly. It was done concretely, and now we're moving on to the next step of the LeBron saga, which appears to be Los Angeles.
Yeah, before we get into that, like, I'm not a fan of Rockets fans treating this as some sort of doomsday. Like, this is what we all expected to happen. The Rockets are still very good. They were a half away from being the prohibitive favorites to win the NBA championship, and this is still an awesome team. There's nothing wrong with trying to bring the band back together.
Yeah, it's weird that kind of the worst case scenario is also an extremely good case scenario for the Rockets, and if they just bring everyone back, they're just right back there at it. It's not like the Warriors are gonna sign LeBron James. It would have been nice.
We can't rule that out yet. You know, it's still time.
Yeah, it's technically possible, but so they have the tools they need. Like, honestly, this last playoffs is a huge success, and no one should be sad about this scenario where they didn't get LeBron James, because now we know that they can take it to the Warriors.
Yeah. So back to what you were saying, the LeBron saga.
Yeah, it's really looking like he's going to the Lakers. That's the overwhelming favorite right now, partially because everyone 5, else could have dropped off the board. Yeah, 5, that's the same 000. Chances the Rockets were given to beat the Timberwolves in the first round of the playoffs.
That's nuts. Like, 5,000, like, that's, you're getting $100 back for betting $5,000. Like, that's nuts. Like, I've never seen odds that high for a LeBron free agent decision ever.
Yeah, it seems like it's a done deal. I mean, you It's not 100%, I suppose. It's not over yet, but it's pretty rare that we see that kind of line on something that doesn't end up panning out. It seems like someone already knows. And once again, you had people like Windhorst saying it really seems like it's down to Cleveland or Los Angeles at this point. And so this makes it seem like it's just down to Los Angeles at this point.
Yeah, and these Vegas guys know, like these people who set the sports book, like they're like if you check their history, as time goes on, they get more accurate. So the opening line of LeBron had the Lakers as like the second or third option, and as time went on, the odds suddenly increased as more information came out to the public. And these guys get inside information, man. Like Bob Valgaris, like knew about LeBron before he went to Cleveland. He knew about him before he went to Miami. Like these guys get inside information sometimes even before the teams do. Like it's so I would say it's looking like a pretty, I'm not gonna say concrete, but it's looking pretty. It'd be hard to change the tide at this point.
It would be a huge upset. It'd be a giant surprise if anything else happened at this point.
So it's leaning like LeBron is headed towards Los Angeles. Now, we can't say that for sure. There's still time, but again, like that's where the tide should 5,000. That's I can't get over that line.
Yeah, that's an incredible line. That's very rare.
I just never, you never see that for a LeBron decision. Like it's not even July 1st yet. Like how do you get a line like that early? That's
You
just
didn't even, I mean, presumably he's just going to announce it right away. Just like
you think
as soon
so?
as practice
So
begins.
you
It
think
kind of seems like it.
1201? You think 1201?
I mean, it seems like he's already made up his mind. He went to his decision cave to go figure it out. It really seems like he wants us to get this over with a lot faster than he has the last couple off seasons
Did you
or the
see
last couple
LeBron's
free agency.
house in the Caribbean?
I would like to have that house.
Did you see the pictures? Oh my God. Like the pool looks awesome. They have a beachfront, obviously. Like, and they're paying $75,000 a week to live there. Yeah, you wish you had LeBron money, but I mean, like, it felt like LeBron and his people just like were there for vacation. And I like you don't figure that LeBron's doing like cliff diving stuff from 10 feet, like if he doesn't have any idea where he's going. Like, I feel like LeBron knows already. I'm not sure when he's gonna announce it, but I feel like he has an idea in his mind. And right now, at this point, we're just gonna find out how the introduction comes. Is it gonna come through uninterrupted? Is it gonna come through Lee Jenkins again? Is it gonna come through like is Wads gonna tweet it? Like that's kind of where we're at right now with LeBron.
Go on NBA Reddit. Yeah, so I think that's kind of where we're at with LeBron. If it doesn't happen immediately, I think it'll happen pretty quick. I doubt he wants to draw this out. I think everybody involved would like it to just finish up and that's it.
So like LeBron's plane landed in Los Angeles today. Now that could mean nothing. His family lives here. In fact, Ramona Shelburne tweeted that in response to like LeBron's like plane landing. Like a source told her that like LeBron lives here. Like this obviously he's gonna be here during free agency. And this is where all the NBA action is. Frankly, like everybody is in Los Angeles. Like right now, the entire NBA universe is in Los Angeles. That's where all the meetings are happening. Like everything is scheduled to happen in LA. It happens like this every year. That's like the NBA central hub once July 1st happens. And the NBA teams were informed that they have 12 hours to schedule a meeting. I think that's the official memo. Like these meetings were happening a long time ago. Like the NBA needs to stop pretending like NBA fans are naive to this stuff. Like everybody knows what's going on here. I don't know. This is just a little thing that bothered me.
Yeah, so that's Los Angeles, and well, it's not Los Angeles. There's more to LA. There's been some hilarious, like, Paul George rumors today. Have you seen all these?
Yeah, okay, so Paul George, like much like LeBron, it's looking very like again, like nothing's concrete yet. There hasn't been any deal announced yet, no verbal agreement, but it's looking really, really solid that he's going to stay in Oklahoma City next year.
Yeah, he seems to have drank that Kool-Aid, which is powerful, powerful Kool-Aid.
Yeah, like so the news that came out today is Russell Westbrook is throwing, I'm gonna quote it here, a summer house hype party. Like that's what they're calling it, and it's they're gonna have Nas there. They're gonna have they're gonna have a bunch of like celebrities there, and Paul George is also going to be there. And like if it doesn't get more concrete than that, like I feel like his announcement's gonna come at 12:01. Like I find it hard to believe that he would attend this party while also being headed towards Los Angeles.
And there's been a lot of like rumblings about that too, that he's definitely leaning towards staying in a big way. And then his like barber had his tweets about it where he was sure he was gonna come. Yeah, there is like his shots of Paul George with a guy who's allegedly his barber, and the barber is saying like, "Oh, I just picked up my guy at the airport. You guys are gonna be happy in OKC or something." It's extremely unsubstantiated, but it's very funny and recent that allegedly the story was broken by Paul George's barber.
I love NBA free agency so much.
It's so good, right?
I love this so much, man. And like, there's all this tracking going on with Instagram, and so, like that's like, this is my favorite nerd level stuff with NBA free agency. Like when you can just like sit down in like a bunker somewhere and like track all this stuff. Like, and there's internet sleuths around the world just following everybody's Instagram page. I love this. I love this part of the NBA calendar so much. So do you want to talk about, you want to go back to the Rockets again and how all this stuff impacts? Okay, so it seems like there's going to be a team in Los Angeles that's going to be centered around LeBron and probably Kawhi Leonard. The Lakers are going to, like, they're going to make a strong pitch towards Kawhi Leonard. They're putting their best foot forward right now, it seems, and the Spurs are hesitant to trade Kawhi Leonard until they get their best offer. But, I mean, the thing is, like, no other team has the kind of leverage than the Lakers. I mean, like, the Lakers hold such power over the Spurs right now because Kawhi's people are saying they're LA bound if you don't trade us to the Lakers right now. Like, it just feels like they're forcing a decision to Los Angeles. And the Lakers actually have pretty nice trade assets. They have Ingram, they have Kuzma, they have Josh Hart, they have draft picks, they have Randall. Well, Randall's a restricted free agent right now, but they have a lot of assets. And I would be very shocked if at this time in all, let's just say in 2 months, if Kawhi Leonard isn't a Laker, because it's just, there's too much noise, because the Celtics have already, Danny Ainge came out, I think yesterday or the day before, saying like it's looking like it's going to be really unlikely for them to pull off a trade. And the Sixers we just haven't heard any rumblings about the Sixers getting serious about Kawhi. Brett Brown's running that whole operations after the Carl Colangelo thing. And like, it's looking more and more like Los Angeles is going to end up with Kawhi Leonard and LeBron by the end of maybe even this week, but definitely by August. A trade should have been worked out, and LeBron might agree within the next several days to go to Los Angeles.
The Spurs need to take them for everything they're worth. I think they can get a lot from the Lakers. They should try to get every single one of those young guys they can. They should try to get Ingram. They should try to get Kuzma. They should try to get Hart. They should try to get like two or three draft picks on top of it. Whatever the Lakers want to give up, they should increase that offer. And I think that the Spurs will try to drive a hard bargain because, I don't know, it's...
I mean, it's Kawhi Leonard, man.
Big asset, yeah.
It's one of the five best players in the league when he's healthy. Now, of course, like the big, you know, thing looming in the background is nobody knows what the hell is wrong with Kawhi, right? Like his quad injury is still a big mystery to the NBA, which is crazy. Like God knows how much time has passed since the initial report about Kawhi being out for the rest of the season. Like, it's... like, we still have no concrete answer as to what the quad injury is. Like, I think I heard like a week ago that it was degenerative. Like, if it's degenerative, man, you got to be really careful in trading that kind of asset.
Yeah, the information I've seen suggests that it's, well, degenerative in as much as that it's continued damage on the quad. So basically, the problem that can occur in these injuries sometimes is that the wear and tear on your body can in some injury cases be greater or around the same amount as the healing, and you have to heal it up to a certain point to make it stop wearing down as fast as it's healing. And so it's sometimes you just have to stay off of these things for like a year or something at a time. So if it is degenerative, it might be something that will be resolved after a certain point, or maybe it just, it could be a problem ongoing. It's hard to tell. So there is some reason to be worried about it.
Yeah. By the way, my phone's going off in the background, so please ignore that. Like, if you hear it, like, you have to stay on top of this. If something breaks, like, we have to talk about it right now. It looks like the NBA's come out with their cap figures. It's nothing new. Like, it's exactly what we expected, pretty much. 101 salary cap, 101 million, the mini mid-level, which is what the Rockets have, 5.3 million. The room exception, 4.49 million. The mid-level exception, 8.64 million. The salary floor is 91 million. Luxury tax, 123 million. So it looks like the NBA got it right in their estimates. Like, it's gonna be 101 million, and it looks like the Rockets are gonna have a 5.3 million mini mid-level exception to work with. By the way, a mini mid-level exception is when you're a tax-paying team. So, and the Rockets figure to be a tax-paying team when this is all worked out. So they're gonna have $5.3 million to improve their roster and their vet minimums.
Yeah, which is not a lot. Right. I feel like so it's a 101.8 million dollars salary cap, which is, that's not a very big jump from last year.
It's really plateaued, man.
Yeah, it's like only 3 million increase, which is pretty rough. So
that's like your standard increase, like year to year. That's like a regular interest. Like it's like no new money's even come in. Like, that's the kind of increase you have right here.
Yeah, they had that big giant spike from that TV deal, and it's been tapering off a bit. Yeah. I mean, remember last summer, they were hoping for a much bigger increase, but then there was a lot less revenue from playoff games. So we might see some articles soon about like how playoff ratings and games may have or may not have affected this stuff. Anyway, the point is that that does not give any more breathing room for the Rockets to work with. There's no way it would have anyway, but there hasn't been like some kind of 11th hour salvation there. They're just going to be a tax-paying team. And in my opinion, right now, the game is just keep your agents.
Yeah, there's going to be, oh my God, the bloodbath that's going to result from this. Like, God knows how many NBA agents are going to be fired after this. Like, there's already rumblings of teams, like, of players getting upset with their agents. And, you know, like, even last year you saw some of this going on. But, like, this year it's going to be, like, guys like Avery Bradley might get, like, $5 million a year. Like, that's nuts. Someone like Dwight Howard might have to sign somewhere for the minimum. And someone like who would have normally demanded a $20 million contract like 2 years ago is going to get like eight. Like, they're going to have to settle for the mid-level exception.
In large part because the Players Association decided they wanted all that money to go to Ryan Anderson and Kevin Durant.
Yeah. yeah, like, it's the 2016, like Zach Lowe was talking about this, like the 2016 summer is going to be like a seismic shift in how we talk about NBA history. It's going to, like, obviously the Kevin Durant move resulted from the cap spike. A bunch of teams being hamstrung right now with cap issues is a direct result of 2016. Like, and you were right. Like, the teams were expecting this to be much bigger, like, a year ago. Like, they were expecting a continuation of the cap jump. Like, that was the estimated figures we were getting. But teams just overestimated the hell out of it and did and operated their business as if the cap was going to continue to increase. So Evan Turner and Ryan Anderson and these guys were getting contracts as if the cap was going to continue to increase. Like, teams were operating under that assumption, and it's going to come back It's going to come back to bite them in the butt.
It's going to haunt them for sure. It's haunting the whole league.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So go ahead.
So that leaves the Rockets in a boat where they don't really have much room to improve. They have to keep all their current free agents, basically. And some of them are on great deals, right? Like, you have P.J. Tucker's on a fantastic deal. And that deal looks better every single day.
Yeah.
But they're going to have to pay a bunch of their guys. Chris Paul is probably the next big...
Let's talk about Chris Paul.
Almost to fall. Yeah.
Let's talk about Chris Paul for a second. So Chris Paul is obviously an unrestricted free agent right now. The Rockets have bird rights, so they can sign him for whatever he wants, theoretically, over the cap. And all they're really paying for is luxury tax and years. Years is the real key indicator here. Like, how many years is Chris Paul going to get? And, like, this is, like, a 33-year-old point guard coming off of multiple leg injuries. And, like, the Rockets have to be careful in here, man. Like, this is rocky waters, because I think it's pretty much a done deal that Chris Paul's coming back to the Rockets. Like, I mean, they're operating, like,
Yeah, that's every indication.
Yeah, like, you haven't even heard Chris Paul meeting with other teams. You haven't even heard of, you know, the Rockets being hesitant to give him that kind of contract that he wants. But it just seems like All we're really waiting for is the amount of years he's going to get. And I have no idea what kind of how they're going to structure this contract, to be honest. Like, all I know is, like, gut feeling, there's no way in hell he gets a five-year max. No way in hell he gets a five-year max unless that fifth year is, like, non-guaranteed or something. Like, I just have a hard time believing that Daryl Morey, this specific executive, would give Chris Paul a five-year max. Like, we just, like, it's just mind-blowing for me to see him getting $40-plus million at age 37. Like, I can't see it.
Yeah, I think you avoid that however you can. Hopefully Chris Paul is realistic enough to understand that no one wants to be paying him that much money at age 38. I think that if you're the Rockets, you throw him, like, infinite money for 3 years and see what happens.
Yeah, like, I think what we're looking at right now is a 3 to 4 year max, and that fourth year could get interesting because they could do some creative stuff with it. They could make some of it non-guaranteed. They could put a game limit on it, so if you play a certain amount of games, you can get, you know, some, you know, incentives can kick in. You can incentivize a contract. You can do some creative stuff with it, or you could just flat out give them the max. And I don't think they're going to give them the 5 year max. I just think, like, right now, if you're asking me what kind of deal Chris Paul is going to get, I'd say the 3 year max. Like, I really think that's going to be beneficial to both parties. Like, I think the Rockets, like, if you put a gun to the head, you'd want a 2 year max really from Chris Paul. But I think you bite the bullet, give him that extra year, because a 36-year-old Chris Paul getting max money really isn't that bad considering how well he's aged so far. You might be worried about the injuries, but you're in that realm where you have to contend. Like, you're in that short period of time of James Harden's prime where you have to maximize as many years as you possibly can in the realm of contention. I think the Rockets bite the bullet, give him a 3 to 4 year max, and it's looking more and more like it's going to happen, like, 12:01, maybe an hour after free agency. Like, I think it's going to be one of the first contracts signed, one of the first big contracts signed.
Yep, and it really sounds like every indication is that he's just going to sign right away, and it's going to be a total non-story. And that's going to put them right into, like, salary hell, but that's what they expect. That's how you keep a team like this together. This is a team that really shouldn't be able to put together. That's how talented they are. This salary cap is working against them at every moment, and they just have to, like, kind of bite the bullet and keep it together as long as they can to maximize, like you said, this Harden championship window.
Yeah, and I'm sure Tad and Daryl talked to Tillman Fertitta, the Rockets' new owner, before he, like, even in the process of buying the new team, like, they vetted these guys, right? So I'm pretty sure during the interview process, like, Tillman was made aware that these luxury tax payments are going to come because the Chris Paul trade had already been made by that point, and everybody knew Chris Paul was going to be an unrestricted free agent next year, and Clint Capella was coming up, and the possibility at least existed where he could get a large contract. Nobody knew he was going to have the type of season he had last year, but the possibility always existed. So I'm sure they prepared him on the type of money Clint Capella could be seeing, and in turn, the kind of luxury tax payment, you know, Tillman could be paying. Like, I'm like pretty sure Tillman knows full, you know, he's the team has prepared him for what kind of money he's going to have to spend. And I think he'll spend it. I'm interested to see what kind of years he's going to get. And what we're really looking at, like, the big question for agency might just be, like, Clint Capella and Trevor Ariza. Let's start with Clint Capella first, because Clint Capella, obviously coming off a really, really great year, ascending talent, 25 years old. I think he's like 24, right? How old is he?
I think he's like 24. He's very young.
He's very young. He's very young. One of the better centers in the league. Huge fulcrum of the Rockets' offense and defense, in that he's obviously a great rim runner, great pick and roll threat. The Rockets, all they do is run pick and roll, and his threat to the lob creates so many opportunities for Harden and Paul. And defensively, he's one of the best switch defenders in the NBA as a big man. And it's been like this for many years. So really, really key cog in the Rocket system.
He's an actual big man that you can throw against the Warriors also, which is invaluable.
Right, right. 100%. And I'm curious what kind of contract he's going to get, especially because of what Dallas has been doing recently. So Dallas, we talked about this on, like, after draft night. Dallas, they didn't draft a big. They traded up to get Luka Doncic, and they're without a center right now. That's their biggest need, and by all indications, they're going to go hard after a center this summer. And it came out yesterday that DeAndre Jordan opted out of his contract. I guess you don't technically opt out of your contract.
You just don't opt in. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. You just don't exercise the option. So he's not going to exercise his option. He's going to become an unrestricted free agent. And by all indications, he's going to be Dallas's top target. So Rockets fans should be rooting, like, at all costs for DeAndre Jordan to go to the Mavericks, because the Mavericks right now are by far the biggest suitor for Clint Capela at this moment, because they have a huge need there. Capela would slot right in with their two playmakers and their age range, and it just makes a lot of sense for Dallas to throw big money at him, even to kind of screw with the Rockets. Like, that's a division rival you have right there, yeah. And you know, you might as well make them pay as much as you possibly can. The only thing is, like, if the Mavericks have plans to go after other centers, you can't tie up that space with Clint Capela, because you're going to have to, the official matching period starts July 6th, and you have 2 days to match a contract. That's new this year. It used to be 3 days, but now it's 2 days. So it's 2 days. You have 2 days to match the contract. So up until July 8th, all these free agent centers have already been gone by now, and money could be dried up. And you just can't depend on DeAndre Jordan waiting in the wind for you like that. So I'm interested to see how quickly the Mavericks resolve their center situation, because it's going to have a direct impact on how the Rockets deal with Clint Capela.
Yeah, I would think that they would want that, or at least DeAndre would want to resolve it quickly so he can get a decent amount of money, right? He would probably want to get that right away. Get signed up with the Mavs if that's where he's going to go, and then
the Mavs
away,
have
and then,
a ton of cap space.
Yeah, they do. By the way, the news is that, which we should just go over this a little bit. I think they have sent the qualifying offer to Clint Capela. It's $4.75 million. It's just a standard offer.
Yeah, he's not going to take it.
No, he's not going to take it. So, but the way that restricted free agency works is that you send to them a qualifying offer. That's one of your options. You give them a qualifying offer, and it's a set amount of money, and they can take that qualifying offer. And if they do, they get this ludicrously low salary for that next year of their contract. And then at the end of it, they're unrestricted free agent. It's done. That's like, if you really want to get out of your restricted free agency at the quickest, that's how you do it. You just take the qualifying offer. You eat like an unpleasant year of contract, and you just like are rapidly out of their system. But what that also does is that once you give the qualifying offer, rather than just agreeing to a contract extension, what they can also do, you can also just agree to a contract extension with your team, and then it just is, that's it. But if instead you give the qualifying offer, then it activates the weirdness of restricted free agency, which is that he can go get offers from other teams, but the Rockets have basically a right of first refusal on those. They can decide to match any offer that he gets from any other team. So basically, it means he's allowed to go set his own market. He can just go meet with teams and see how much money he's worth, and then the Rockets will pretty much 99% chances match whatever the best offer he gets is, and he will be satisfied that he got the money he's worth. Is I guess the assumption there.
Right, and just to go over it again, the match, Clint Capela could give a verbal agreement to somebody that he's going to sign this offer sheet, but he can't officially sign it till July 6th. So the match period cannot start until July 6th, and it's a two-day max period where the Rockets, as you said, the Rockets can match anything given to Clint Capela by another team. But, like, the Rockets can also have the option to meet with Clint Capela before he meets with other teams and give a contract that suits both of them. And this really benefits both teams here, because both sides here, because the Rockets can give him a 5-year max, which you would think Clint Capela's camp would want. And the Rockets would want, because you lock them up for long-term money. And you can theoretically get a discount for Clint Capela if you meet with them early and come in negotiations with good faith. And, you know, give them a fair offer. So maybe not the max, but slightly lower the max. Like, I would say what Clint Capela is looking at here is at least $100 million for 5 years. Like, he's going to get that, no question.
I think that's what you shoot for. If you're Houston, maybe you offer him like 8 starting of 18 initially just to sort of start on the low side. But I think what you want is to pay him 20 a year effectively over the course of 5 years.
Just I think shy that's, of his max, right?
Yeah, a little bit shy of his max. So you get a little bit of savings there and you get a little bit of hometown discount. But he does get like a full bunch of years and a whole lot of money. And then you swallow that without any like worry about it. that's a pretty big contract, but that's like the same money they're giving to Ryan Anderson. So
right, so a max from another team would be $108.6 million, and it would be 8% raises, obviously $25 million starting salary, 8% raises from there, and a total of $108.6 million. That's a 4-year max. So
yeah, it's a lot of money.
From Houston, it would be same starting salary, $25.25 million, and a total 8% raise from there, obviously, and a total of $146.5.5 million for Clint Capela. I don't think the Rockets are going to give him that 5-year max. I think if they come to the table early, the thought process is maybe we can get a discount from him. And, you know, to be honest, I don't think he's going to take the $20 million a year offer. I think he's probably going to try to get something just shy of 25, like probably like 21, 22, and
yeah, I think you have, you get both sides can be happy with 21 or 22,
right? Yeah, and I think that's a fair offer, because I mean, if you look at the other centers on the market, they're going to be squeezed for money. You know, maybe Daryl pulls off a miracle and gets a discount on him, but I have a hard time believing that's going to happen. Like I think Clint and his agent know just how valuable he is. And I think they're going to try and get as much money as possibly can, as they should. Clint's earned it. He's had a really great season, and even if he's not a Rocket next year, he's earned every bit of his money next year. Like Rockets fans should acknowledge that he's earned. Like, don't call him selfish for leaving. Don't call him whatever. Like, I don't think he's leaving. I'm just saying, in the event that he leaves, like, you cannot give him crap for it. He's earned every bit of his money. Yeah.
But I think that the chances he leaves is very slim, because they have complete control over whether or not he leaves. They just have to decide to pay that money or not. So yeah, Chris Paul and Clint Capela, I think, are honestly locked up. It's just a question of exactly how much money they'll be paying them.
Yeah, and how many years, and if they play hardball with Clint Capela and let him meet with other teams, or if they meet with them early. So that's what we're looking at here. Like, I think Chris Paul is going to be the first Rockets free agent retained. And after that, I think they're going to go into every meeting with Chris Paul. Like, I have a feeling that that's what they did last year, basically.
Then they have to deal with Trevor Ariza, who seems to be he's interested in getting more money, which you might if you are a basketball player.
Yeah.
I think he probably is going to get more money than his contract, because his contract was a lowering contract that ended up at like $7 million in the last year, which was ridiculous.
Right, like the Rockets got a steal on his contract, and I think Trevor Ariza is pretty much taking a page out of the Andre Iguodala book from last year. Like he's going to other teams, and he knows full well that the Rockets can offer him the most money, and he knows that, I mean, they can pretty much what he's dealing with the Rockets is the luxury tax. That every dollar above, you know, above the luxury tax, like, they're going to be paying Trevor Ariza a bunch of money. They're not going to be paying him that money, but they're going to be paying for Trevor Ariza.
Yeah, it will cost them.
Yeah, a lot of money. So, I mean, Trevor Ariza knows this. He knows it's just a matter of money for them. He's not taking up any space. It's just a matter of how much are you willing to pay me. And I think he's going to try to squeeze the Rockets for as much as he possibly can. I think he should, because wings are really targeted right now. They're really, really under... really, really valuable on the market. That's the correct word. They're really, really valuable. 3-and-D wings of his type. Now, I got to say this. Like, I've been reading articles about under-the-radar free agents, and I've consistently read about Trevor Ariza being one of the most undervalued free agents and him being this perfect modern-day 3-and-D wing. Like, no, he's not that. Like, we need to stop categorizing Trevor Ariza as, like, he's, like... It just reminds me of, like, 2015 Jay Crowder, like, where we overrated the hell out of him. And, like, the internal fan base knew just how good he was. That's why they weren't upset when he left. That's the kind of vibe I get here. And that's, like, I just think he's this situation for him is perfect, and he fares very well here. He's a fine three-point shooter. He's not a good three-point shooter. Like, that needs to get out of the vocabulary when describing him. He is a He's an okay defender, above average in the playoffs, and did a really good job this year. Like, he's not a great defender. That needs to be done. Like, he's pretty much a really good glue guy. That's the way you should describe him. And I think the Rockets know that. I think they know how old he is. I think they know that he's probably going to get worse as the years go on. And at this point, like, you probably shouldn't pay him more than $10 million a year. And I think that's a fair offer for Ariza, because the mid-level exception this year is going to be 8.6 million, right?
Yeah.
It's going to be $8.6 million. So $10 million is just, you know, above that. It's fair. It's reasonable. I think that's pretty much the contract range we're talking about for Trevor Ariza. We're talking
I think it's about right
around mid-level exception to $10 million. Like, it's going to be in that range. I don't know how many years he's going to get. I don't think he's going to get 4 or 5. I think it's similar to, like, it might be Chris Paul and Trevor Ariza might get the same amount of years. Like, that might be a distinct possibility here, where, like, they both might get, like, 3 years.
Yeah, that's kind of what I would expect, honestly. If you can get him for 3 years, $10 million a year, you call that a win and move on.
Right. Like, you'd ideally like to pay him, like, the mid-level exception over 4 years or whatever, over 3 years or whatever, but... I mean, I think the way he's playing this, like, there's been a report by, like, Shams Charania that he's going to meet with teams on July 1st. Like, he's playing hardball. He's taking a page out of the Iguodala book. And he's going to make the Rockets pay. And that's fine. I think he's going to get a three-year, $30 million offer sheet. Like, I think that's kind of where I feel like the Rockets are going to settle with him.
And that just leaves the last couple of free agents they have to worry about. They need to worry about Luke Richardson-Bahamute and Gerald Green.
Right.
And they only need to worry about one of them, honestly.
One more thing I want to mention with Trevor Ariza. They might front load his contract. Because...
last time?
Yeah. They might front load his contract, and they might give him a little bit more money in the front end. Like, they might just, like, give him, like, $13-14 million a year this year, and then for the following years, that, you know, they pay him market salary. But that's just the last thing I wanted to mention. Gerald Green. So it's reported that the Rockets are going to meet with Gerald Green on July 1st, and he's going to be the first player they meet with, pretty much. And I think the Rockets are doing this specifically because they know they can't give him anything more than the veterans minimum. Like, they.
Yeah,
it's just he's just not that, like, he played a key part in the Rockets playoffs this year, like, because there were so many injuries and the Rockets pretty much had no bench to work with because all their bigs couldn't play against the Warriors and Luke and Bamute's shoulder was so messed up. So I think Gerald Green knows that. I'm not sure what he's looking to demand on the free market. He's probably looking at the taxpayer mid level somewhere else. Like, I think that's probably the max he's looking at right now, like $5.4 million if he goes to another team. I think the Rockets are going to give him a vet minimum. I'm not sure if he's going to return. Like, I think if he demands more than a vet minimum, you clean your hands and you walk away. And you look for other bargain basement deals you can look on the free market.
Yeah, he wasn't so mission critical that it's really a big problem if he goes ahead and moves. So... they can give him, what, like a little tiny bit above the minimum, right? Like, if they can give him like a non-bird raise, basically, but it's not much.
But,
he's consigned to like 2.8 max or something.
I don't think Tillman does that, because, like, if you pay him the non-bird, like, every dollar you pay, like, again, they're in luxury tax hell. So it's going to be a lot of money, a lot of additional money on top of, like, I think it's like $3 million in luxury tax extra on top of the vet minimum if you pay him the non-bird. So I don't think they're going to do that. They might, who knows, they might think, you know, Gerald Green is worth paying that luxury tax for. We'll see. I think it's looking more likely that if Gerald Green doesn't accept a veterans minimum from the Rockets, he's not going to be a Rocket next year. Like, it's, I would put his chances at 50-50 on returning.
But yeah, and it'd be sad that he's not on the team anymore, but he's not an important part of the team. It's fine.
Yeah.
The real big problem is going to be dealing with Luke Richardson-Bahamute.
Yeah, Luke Richardson-Bahamute is going to be the fascinating one because the Rockets, again, limited resources. They have to sign their rookies too. The rookies that they drafted and the, you know, the undrafted guys that perform well in summer league, they got to pay those guys somehow. So they're gonna, they might be taking that money out of the, out of their taxpayer mid-level exception. And I think that's pretty much what you're looking at for Luka Mbamute, the taxpayer mid-level exception. It's gonna really depend on how much the Rockets take out of that taxpayer mid-level to pay other guys. It's possible that they give Luka Mbamute the full taxpayer mid-level. I'm not sure. It really depends on how creative Daryl gets here with the with their finances. But he is a key cog in the Rocket system. Like, a legitimately great defender, a competent three-point shooter. I wouldn't say a great three-point shooter, a good, competent three-point shooter. Very switchable, and would have been a really, really key piece in the Warriors series had he been healthy. But his shoulder was so messed up that it just, the Rockets couldn't play him because he was missing layups. So I'm interested to see how they handle that. Like, I want to see how much Mbamute demands on the free market. I'm not sure what he's gonna get on the free market, because again, teams are so squeezed for cap right now. He may be able to get the full mid-level exception, which is $8.6 million, as we said before. That's $3 million more than the Rockets can offer him. We'll see. I think they're gonna give him the taxpayer mid-level. I have a feeling he'll be back, but it really depends on how important the money is for him right now at this point in his career.
Yeah, I think that the most likely scenario is probably he gets about that $5 million mark, and because it's a pretty meaningful raise over, like, he was making what, like the minimum like 2.5 or so last year.
Yeah.
So give him like a meaningful raise above that, but yeah, it's about all they can really afford to give him. If they can bring him back, fantastic. I mean, once again, if the Rockets bring back all their free agents and you know, have any little sliver of that mid-level exception left over, that's a pretty big get. So,
yeah. So let's talk about ways they can improve their team. So we're just talking about ways they can retain their team. Let's talk about ways they can improve their team. The only significant avenue they have left right now is trade. I mean, that's pretty much the biggest avenue we're talking about to improving their team. Like, the Rockets have cash; they have a significant amount of cash left over because they only paid $1.5 million during the draft for a second round pick, and they have that to work with. They have all their future first moving forward. The only pick they have going out is their next year's second rounder. So other than that, they have all their draft picks moving forward. They have Ryan Anderson's contract, which I have a strong feeling that they're going to try to move this year. So let's go ahead and talk about ways they can move Ryan Anderson and perhaps improve their team.
Well, number one is you pair him up with enough draft picks to move him and perhaps take back some salary in a trade as well for somebody you actually want to play. That's like really plan A, right? Is you sweeten it enough with draft picks that someone's willing to pick up those 2 years of his contract and give you back someone who's more useful than the not at all useful Ryan Anderson is.
Right. So I'm gonna throw out a deal that I totally stole. Like, it's been not rumored. It's been thrown out like a lot on Rockets Twitter. It's been thrown out on podcasts. I even heard it in person. Like, this deal is like pretty popular on the Rockets web, I guess, right now. Ryan Anderson plus a first rounder for Kent Bazemore. I think that's a pretty fair deal for both parties. Like, Atlanta looks like they really want to take a long haul approach here, like a Sam Hinkie-esque approach. And in doing that, they're going to use their space to absorb bad contracts and take in more draft picks. And in this specific scenario, you're not using much of your cap space because you're giving out Kent Bazemore. And you're taking in Ryan Anderson's contract. So it's pretty much a wash. Not much of a difference between those two contracts. And so you're getting a first-round pick back. So you're getting Ryan Anderson's contract plus a first-round pick. I think that's a fair trade for both parties. If they were just trading him into space, I think it would require more than one first-rounder. I think it would require multiple first-rounders. But in this case, they're not trading him into space. They're trading him for another player. I think that's fair.
Yeah, and I think that Bazemore, as much as he's struggled recently, has the potential to be a lot more useful in Houston's system. I mean, also, they went after Bazemore in that same year they signed Ryan Anderson. And he's, you know, he has a lot more defensive tools. He fits that kind of 3-and-D switchy defense system they want to run. So he'd be another guy they can add into that system. So I think it would be a fantastic deal. And it seems, honestly, fairly doable as well.
Yeah, and, like, I think the Hawks could use Ryan Anderson. I mean, they're trying to incorporate Trae Young right now, right? Like, I mean, if you're trying to incorporate a great passing guard, I mean, what better player to put next to him than Ryan Anderson to ease him into the NBA, perhaps even get him, like, a couple assists per game, like, it stretches the floor for them. Like in the short term, I'm sure Ryan Anderson won't be in their long term plans. But in the short term, he stretches the floor for you. He gets Trae Young comfortable with playing in an NBA system, and they have a new coach, Lloyd Pierce. They have a new general manager, Travis Schlenk. I think Ryan Anderson might, you know, could in the short term be a nice little culture fit for like a year or two, however long they plan to keep him. And I think, as you said, Kent Bazemore has a lot of attractiveness for the Rockets. I mean, they met with him on July 1st. Like, he was the first person they met with in free agency. I think it was 2 years ago, 2016, the summer where all those bad contracts were given out. He was the first guy they met with, and they brought like a huge cast of characters. They brought Yao, they brought Hakeem, they brought Clyde, they brought Harden. They brought a bunch of Hall of Famers to that meeting. I think they brought Tracy too, right?
I think they brought it. Yeah, they brought everyone. It was pretty wild that for some reason he got like the King's treatment.
Right. They brought a lot of guys to that meeting, and like, you know, obviously I think I even heard a report about Kent Bazemore being impressed with their it was either Kent Bazemore or Iguodala that was really impressed with the meeting with the Rockets. Either way, like, the Rockets obviously have interest in Bazemore. They've shown it in the past. They tried to get him in 2016, and I think it would be a nice fit. He hasn't been good defensively the past year or so, but I think a lot of that is because the Hawks are so bad, and there's no real reason to be motivated to play hard defense. But he has the tools to play great defense. I mean, if you remember that season where the Hawks won 60 games. I mean, he was a big part of that, right? Like, him, Damari Carroll, Kyle Korver were a huge part of that defensive system for Mike Budenholzer. He'd be a great fit here under Bezdelic. And the Rockets could use as many wings as they can to play against the Warriors in the playoffs. That seems like a reasonable deal they could go after to try and improve their team. Some other guys, Iman Shumpert, you could also do this with.
That's a guy.
Yeah, that's a guy. You can do, there are other wings in the market you could try doing this with that are on bad teams, and you could try and create trade packages with like some of their draft picks and some of their rights guys. Like, they have the rights to Sergio Yule, they have the rights to Alessandro Gentile, they have the rights to a lot of guys. You can attach those rights to Ryan Anderson's contract, create creative deals, maybe even try to move Nene in some of those deals, because Nene is a contract on the books that you can move. So you can go in that avenue. You know, you can try moving Anuaku. Anuaku's a guy who hasn't really panned out that well in the Rockets farm system. So maybe you could try moving him with a draft pick and maybe get another, you know, key piece back. There are avenues to improve this team around the edges, but what you're looking at this summer for the Rockets is pretty much bringing back the same core and, you know, using your vet minimums to see if you can get bargain basement deals and get guys to return.
Yep. It's probably not going to be a super exciting offseason for Houston Rockets fans, but that's fine because it was a super exciting regular season and playoffs, and looks like it probably will be again. So,
yeah. And I'll say this, like, in the past 5 or 6 years, like, I can't remember a boring Daryl Morey offseason. So, I mean, I feel like we're due. Like,
something happens.
Yeah, like, and even, like, if nothing happens, like, it's, again, fantastic team to bring back. I have no problem with the Rockets running it back. I mean, I keep mentioning them as a 65-win team. They're probably not going to win 65 again, but they're still going to be a 60-plus win team. Like, that's the level of talent and coaching that they have. I think they're still going to be very good, and they still formidable Warriors opponent next year. And, you know, there are ways they can be better in the playoffs. Like, they obviously get healthy, and there are ways you can prevent injuries. You can rest your guys during the season a little bit more. You can reduce the minute load on Chris Paul. You can get creative with that kind of stuff. And there are still ways you can come back in a Warriors series and be better, and be better suited. There's some game plan strategies there. So it's not, I'm trying to be optimistic, but I mean, what you're looking at right now is a pretty bland summer of bringing everybody back. But I think that's still a very good summer. I think a lot of teams would love to trade places with the Rockets right now.
More importantly, it's a very good team.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, that's it. This podcast is going to be uploaded right away. We're not going to mess around. Normally I wait like a day or two before I edit and upload this, but this is not going to be edited. We're just going to straight upload this, and you guys are going to get in your feeds right away. Pretty much right before free agency, we are two and a half hours away from free agency. So you're going to get this in 2 hours before free agency, I would say. We're going to in a half hour.
It's about to go down.
Yeah, I can't wait. I cannot wait. This is going to be fun. Like, it's totally possible that there is no movement come July 1st. Like, but there usually is some movement. There are some contracts agreed upon. But again, a lot of teams are squeezed for cap space, so we don't know. We don't know. I have no idea what's going to happen July 1st, but that's what's fun about it. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. Follow me on Twitter at RedNicheNoobsFall. For us on Twitter at DoNots. Give us a good review on iTunes if you enjoyed the show. It really helps people find the show. And yeah, guys, good night.